Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Well, good morning, church. I want to encourage and invite those who are online to join us in all that we do here this morning. So we welcome you online this morning, too. Well, some of the things that I don't know if there's something that you brought in today with you that you don't need to leave with. I want you to think about that. There's something that you brought in here today that you shouldn't leave with. It might be a weight. Today is about burdens. And I don't know about you, but I have carried my own share of burdens. And some of the burdens that I have carried weren't meant for me to carry. And I would say that for you too, that the burdens that you carried in here today, some of them didn't have your name on them. You just picked them up and decided to carry them. They weren't meant for you. One of the things that intrigues me about the wide world of sports is maybe it doesn't intrigue you, but when I see the strongest man competition on TV, I love to click on that channel. I love to see what they're doing. These guys are beasts of men, okay? I mean, their arms are bigger than my thighs. Their thighs are bigger than my waist. And these guys are huge. And they get in and they try to see who can carry the much weight in whatever part of the competition, whether it's taking those kettle things and throwing them over a 15-foot wall, or whether they have to deadlift something or throw something. But the one that intrigues me the most is they have these weights on this, almost like a sleigh. And the weights are behind them and in front of them, and they're kind of in the middle, and they got to pick it up, and they got to walk. They got to walk down it's probably 25 feet or something. Then they got to stop and turn around and take it back the other way, and they have to do it in a certain amount of time. Weight. What they pick up, I couldn't even dream about picking up. But it's interesting to see them, though, and you've probably seen this, that the heavier it gets or the longer that they carry it, the slower that they get. The more they look like they're going to stumble. I can't imagine the pressure on their joints that is going on there. And eventually they have to either collapse under the weight or they have to let it go before they collapse under the weight. You see where I'm going? The burdens that we carry, some of which we're not supposed to carry, are like that to us. We carry them for so long, they get so heavy, and eventually we've carried them so long, we get tired, and we get weaker, and we start stumbling, and either we're going to collapse under the weight of that burden, or today what I want to talk about is how you let it go. How do you let that burden go? Forward is where our church, that's our theme for the year, is moving forward. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for our church? It can mean a lot of things, but we're going to move forward in whatever God has called us and be obedient in it. And you have to do that personally too. But forward is where we will be encouraged to move in our lives and in our goals, in our jobs, in our spiritual growth. But we must understand something, that there are many things and people, thought processes, and many other things that would hinder us from moving forward. And some of those will be categorized as burdens. You may be carrying more weight than you should, and it's keeping you from moving forward in decisions and goals that you made. You said, I'm going to set this goal. I don't know why I can't move forward. Well, you got to think about, what are you carrying right now? What is burdening you right now? What are you wobbling under the weight about? What are you about to collapse from in your life? Psalm 38:4 says, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. Some of you are carrying guilt today. Guilt that you were never meant to carry. Guilt that you asked God to take and God did, but you seem to find yourself walking in it again. You've picked it back up. But what I'm here to tell you today is that Jesus offers a way out from under the weight by offering himself. I want to read, I want to pray for us before we get into the bulk of the message, but I want to read as we were singing, and I don't know about you, but the words you sing, you got to know what you're singing. Because if you're singing just to be singing, then it doesn't mean anything in heaven. It's like a banging gong or a clanging cymbal, it says. But if you're meaning these words on your heart that we just sang, in arms open wide, my whole life is yours. I give it all. Surrender to your name, and forever I will pray, have your way. Today, you need to be praying that. Have your way, Lord. This burden I'm carrying, I shouldn't be carrying. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Take my moments and my days. Let each breath that I take be ever only for you, O God. You see, when our focus gets off of Jesus, when our focus gets off of the Lord, that's when we pick up too much. That's when we have to decide what we're going to carry instead of what Jesus has called us to carry. So what I want you to do is open not just your arms today, but your heart, your mind, to receive what God has for you. To help, the Holy Spirit wants to remind you of something in your life that you're carrying that's too heavy for you. We're going to have a special moment at the end of the service, and I want to make sure that you're allowing the Holy Spirit every chance that he can have to show you what you need to lay down today, if you need to lay something down. Would you pray with me? Father God, we love you so much. We thank you for allowing us to gather here, God. Thank you so much as we do it safely, as we protect our brothers and sisters, as we think about our neighbor and love them well. God, we thank you for those who are joining us online as they're doing the same, Father. Open their hearts and minds as you're opening ours, God, for us to receive the message you have for us today. Because, God, you speak to us individually. And God, we want to hear that message. Speak to us now, Father, in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said together, amen. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says this, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What incredible words those are. But what do they mean? The simplicity of Jesus' promise is both striking and it's refreshing at the same time. We look at it and say, what? But oh man, if that were true, how great is that? Because I need that right now. Jesus doesn't offer us a fourfold path to peace-giving enlightenment like Buddha did. He doesn't give us five pillars of peace through submission as Islam does. Nor does he give us 10 ways to relieve your weariness as if we need another self-help plan. But unique to anyone else in human history, Jesus simply offers himself as the universal solution to all the burdens that we bear. One man, one king, one savior, one Messiah says, come to me if you're weary and you're burdened, and I promise you, you'll find rest. He says, take my yoke, learn from me, let me teach you, because I will come to you and I will take care of you in humility and gentleness, because I know how fragile you are. I made you. I know how broken you are right now. I know how burdened you are right now, so let me, trust me to help you in this. And his simple promise is bold to the world who had a different definition of a king, of a Messiah. He says, come to me, but they thought, he's not really the king. He's not really the Messiah. The only way that this isn't lunacy is if Jesus, what he said and who he is, who he claims to be, isn't true. But if he is the eternal word made flesh, our creator, his simple promise implies a power behind it more than sufficient to lift any weight that bear and burden that weighs us down. And to let go of all that we were never supposed to carry in the first place. Our burdens, your burdens and mine. And I promise, I bet that there's a large percentage of people in this room right now who is carrying something you were never meant to carry. Jesus says, take my yoke and learn from me. But if what he promises us is rest, why does he tell us to put on his yoke? The way many of us understand a yoke is when it is placed on an animal in order to do some work, right? Rest, work. Sometimes the two are not synonymous. The yoke was part of a harness used to pull a cart, a plow, or a mill beam. The instrument was the means by which the animal's master kept them under control and guided them in useful work. The term yoke came to be used as a metaphor for submission. But here, Jesus uses the metaphor to carry a deeper meaning, to carry a meaning into our souls, to give us rest. So is Jesus offering us rest, or is he offering us work? I mean, I'm working hard right now, right? I am working just to make ends meet. I am working just to stay above water. Some of us have been there. Some of us are there right now. What work must we do for him that supposedly will give us rest? Jesus answered this question in other scriptures. In the book of John, he says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in whom he has sent." This is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he sent. And he also said in John, "Abide in me." This is what my yoke is if this is what I want you to do. I want you to have faith. I want you to believe, and I want you to abide. Believe that I am who I say I am, and abide in me. Take a step to me. Let me abide in you. Let me take care of you. Faith, believing and abiding is resting on the hopeful promises of God. That is the yoke that Jesus calls us to bear. And we must learn that. It's a lifetime of learning, right? Because how many times have you laid something down just to go and pick it right back up? The same burden, the same weight. And what is happening here is a yoke exchange. You're exchanging yoke. You're exchanging the heavy one that you're carrying. To have faith, to trust and believe in Jesus, that he is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do, and then you stay connected to him. You abide in that, and you find rest in that. In the cross, Jesus takes our inconceivably and unbearably heavy yoke of sins, condemnation, and penalty, and offers us in exchange the easy yoke and light burden of simply trusting him. He does all the work and gives us all the rest. And his work not only fully addresses our sin problem, but it also provides the supply for every other need we will ever have. He provides it. And isn't his grace sufficient? Isn't his mercy new every morning? Because you know what? When I get up and I contemplate or evaluate my life, I need to renew it every day. Because there's some way that I have stepped out of his will. But all we are required to do is trust him. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened," look at this word, "again by a yoke of slavery." It is for freedom that Christ died for us. So he encourages us to stand firm. And he gives us what we need to do it. "Then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." Who wants to go back into slavery? Who wants to carry a heavy weight? Who says, "Man, I am just not comfortable. I feel better when I have all that weight on me. I feel better when I have all that burden. At least I'm in a comfortable place." Come on. How can we move forward with what God calls if we have fully surrendered to him? That is part of surrendering. It's letting all that go, shedding it, letting it go. How many of us have been set free just to pick up those burdens again? How soon we forget when we take our eyes off of Jesus that the burdens of this world find their way back into our shoulders, into our minds, into our hearts. Church, when we can keep our eyes on Jesus and follow him, it is sure to lighten our load. 1 John 5:3 says, "In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome." Because many of us read the Bible and say, "Oh, I don't know how I'm going to do all Jesus wants me to do. I have enough to do. What else can I add to my plate?" But he says that his commands are not burdensome. Because if we were working in his plan and not our own, then this weight would not be heavy. Because we would be following the path of the God who, when he gives us a vision, he also provides. He gives us the provision to move forward in whatever capacity he needs us to. He gives us the strength for every step. God makes a way and even helps us when we forget. Even if we pick up what we aren't supposed to carry, he tells us he will help us. Psalm 68, 19 through 20. Praise be to the Lord, to the God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. He takes our burdens upon himself. I'll take that. Here, let me give you this. I'll take that if you give me. It's a yoke exchange. And then in Psalm 55, give your burdens to the Lord. He will carry them. He will not permit the godly to slip or fall. Do you believe that? You have to believe that to abide in him. To abide in that, you have to believe it. That is where our faith comes in. And then when you walk in it, you will experience. It goes from, I hear what he says, and I'm going to say I believe it. And then through the experience, you come to know that it is true. You see, last week we talked about loving the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and how our mind and our heart, they're connected. They were never meant to be apart. They were supposed to communicate and be one with the Lord. That's how we love him. And when you know that, you can trust him to do all that he says he's going to do. God gives us so much grace. It's so incomprehensible how much grace he has to give. He is so good to us. I've often said this, you've heard me say it, and I truly believe that we are not here just for ourselves. God has given us a purpose. We're just not here to walk the earth and exist and say, okay, Lord, I want you to save me. But there's a Lord part, isn't there? Because when the Lord speaks, we must do. When the Lord has a desire, it should be our desire to fulfill that desire. But we're not here for ourselves. What God has done or is doing or will do in your life is for you, yes, but not just for you. We are God's conduits of his goodness. When he speaks to us and shows us and we experience the weight being lifted, we got the experience now. We're able to recognize the weight in somebody else and help them know the truth that we know, to let go of that weight and even help them bear it themselves, right? But we have a responsibility, which we should see also as a privilege, to help others in their times of need as we have been helped. And if you're like me, you've experienced some burdens in your life. Right now you are. They can come in all shapes and sizes, big, small, bearable, even unbearable. Or at least that's how they feel, right? Yet within the pages of Scripture, we see instruction calling us, as we know, to help others with their burdens. Scripture talks about us being there when someone falls, to help them up, right? To show them the way. We are light. We are salt, right? To be the light in somebody's life, to show them the way to Jesus. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Wow. The law of Christ we will fulfill if we carry each other's burdens. Help each other along the way. Furthermore, in 2 Corinthians 1, it tells us that when the Lord comforts us in our time of trial, that with that comfort, then we too can be a comforter to someone else. He is preparing you to be a conduit of his goodness and his grace and his mercy and his compassion and his love and his comfort to someone else. The word to bear comes from the Greek word bastazo, which means to carry, to take up or even to take away or carry off. The word burden comes from the Greek word baros, which means weight. When you put those together, to bear a burden means to take away and carry off the weight someone else is experiencing. In essence, you are bringing some form of relief and comfort to someone else's challenging situation. For example, let's say someone lost their job and they're facing the weight of having to buy groceries to feed their family. Bearing their burden may be helping them, buying them a gift card so that they can go buy some groceries until they can get back on their feet again. By doing this, you have carried off their weight for that moment in time. And who hasn't experienced that? Right? I remember long ago, early in mine and Charla's marriage, finances weren't great. You know, we got paid, but our salaries were meager or whatever in ministry. And honestly, when we paid our bills, I was tithing. And I teach my boys this. I teach everybody this, that tithing is important. Bringing what God is, it belongs to Him, is important. That doesn't mean that we won't face trouble or trials. It just means that we're being obedient to God and He will bless us. Okay? So I'm thanking God for that. But it was coming time to pay our bills and we paid everything, but we didn't have enough to pay our house note. And I stand here saying that we have never not paid our house note in the whole time we've owned a house or paid anything, not paid anything. But that week long ago, we didn't know. I didn't know where it was all going to come from unless I had borrowed it from somebody. God is the God of perfect timing. We had a knock on the door, and one of my elders at the time and his wife were standing there. He said, "You know, I got a big bonus, and the Lord just told me that I need to give you part of it." And I said, "Come on in, Lord." Perfect timing, right? And I'll tell you, I have lots of stories like that where God has been faithful. Now, have we wanted for things? Absolutely. Have we needed for anything? Never. We've never needed. I got to have perspective, right? Because sometimes what you think you need, you don't need. God is the determiner of your needs, right? And when we fall in line with that, it's not a burden anymore. It's a privilege to walk in all that God has for you. Well, if I didn't need that, the Lord must not think I need that. I'm okay with that. But we get it in our spirits that, well, I should have that. I have a right to have that. My neighbor has that. My friend has that. Why can't I have that? I should be able to have that. We're each different. And the Lord has a plan for each of us. And we need to walk in that plan and be content to walk in that plan and give Him glory. We won't have any burdens to bear because He takes them all in the perspective that we look at. Now, if you're wondering why Jesus asked us to bear burdens, then consider the second part, though, of that Galatians passage. For no other reasons, He says, so that you may fulfill the law of Christ, so that you may walk in obedience. Because sometimes we don't understand, right? We don't understand. Lord, I got this money, and you're asking me to give it away. I don't know why, because you know I have this need over here, and I was going to pay for it, but now you're asking me to give it away to somebody. I don't understand. That's okay. Are you secure enough in your trust with the Lord to say, I don't know, Lord, but you said it, and I'm going to do it? There's no burden in that. We must remind ourselves of the two statements that Jesus said about the law. We talked about them last week. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law is fulfilled in these two. It covers the plethora of commands and laws that God has put out. If we will focus on these, it will all be taken care of. When you consider the statement, you should understand why Jesus would ask us to bear burdens. By doing so, you are showing love of God and loving your neighbor as yourself. If you were facing a burden, wouldn't you want help? Or are you too prideful to ask for help? Did I hit a nerve? Because maybe that's what you need to lay down today. Maybe you have a lot of pride in you that you don't ask for help, that you're going to do it by yourself, you're going to figure out a way. But you got to remember, we were put here for each other. And God has a provision, and if you're too prideful to open your heart to it, you will never receive the provision that you need. Pride is a burden. And also, if you knew someone who was facing a burden and you were in a position to help, wouldn't you help? I hope the answer is yes. And if it hasn't been in the past, maybe that's what you have to lay down, is your ability to make yourself secure. But allow Christ to make you secure. Because sometimes we hang on to things. We build the bank account up so big. Well, I got to make sure I got 20 months of savings. I got 20 months of provision. Maybe God doesn't want you to have 20 months of provision. You know, He told His people in the deserts to only take what you need for the day. Right? Take what you need for the day. It's all about trust. It wasn't there for the taking. They couldn't have kept it maybe a little bit, but that wasn't the point. The point was God wanted them to trust Him. Can you trust the Lord? In both of these instances, the law is being fulfilled because you are either being loved or you're loving your neighbor as you would yourself. When you do this, you are actually being Christ's hands and arms, His feet extended. You see, bearing burdens was a New Testament reality. The book of Acts is basically a history of the early church. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes. I'm not going to throw anything at you. Just close your eyes right now, and I want you to imagine, as I'm reading these two passages of Scripture from Acts, I want you to imagine what is going on. Acts 2 says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to be able to give to anyone who had need. And further on in Acts 4, it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. You can open your eyes. Could you visualize that? As I was reading those passages in my preparation, I was just trying to visualize what it was. It says that there were no needy persons among them. All their needs were taken care of. What does that feel like? What does that look like in a community? And God wants to use us to do that. That's powerful. As you can see, bearing burdens was a key attribute in the early church. If someone had a burden, if they had a need, someone would say, whoa, how can I help that? Or who can I get to help that? I mean, playing a part in somebody's life, it can happen in any capacity. God's grace powerfully working in their hearts, they looked out for each other. Within the verses, you notice some key points that the believers were together, right? They weren't always on Zoom, right? They weren't always streaming. Not that it's not important for some of our brothers and sisters to do that right now. It's important. But even with that, we can still care for our brothers. Every week I'm going to see somebody, whether I'm standing outside their door, who hasn't been here. And I'm praying with them. I'm checking on them. Even a phone call, an email to somebody, showing that you care for some of our people have been isolated for so long. A fresh face, a prayer, a smile, looking at somebody in the face, not through Zoom, that's helpful so much, but personal connection is what keeps us going. They were one in heart and mind. They were unified, right? They were unified. They had everything in common. Community, Jesus Christ. They sold property and gave to everyone who had need. Generosity, that's the God we serve. God doesn't just want us to give our 10%. That's His anyway. We bring that to the storehouse. That belongs to Him. But then He wants to bless the rest, so we'll use it for His glory and ministry and be generous to grow the kingdom. Generous. You can't outgive God. There were no needy persons among them. That is so amazing. I believe this is a demonstration of what Jesus means by asking us to bear the burdens of someone else or another person, simply making sure that the needs of those around you are met. And here's the other thing that it does. When we take the focus off of ourselves, our burdens get lighter because we see those who have heavier burdens and we need to help them with them. And we forget about, whoa, man, I didn't even realize that. I wasn't even thinking about that for a while. You laid it down for just a moment. The key is, can you lay it down permanently? There's Old Testament references too. It wasn't just a New Testament expectation for Jesus' followers. Bearing burdens is a familiar theme through Scripture. In fact, this was even a command in the Old Testament for God's chosen nation. Listen to this Old Testament passage out of Deuteronomy. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land of your Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted and tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Give generously to them and do so without grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. This is back in the second giving of the law. This idea of carrying each other's burdens is important to God. If your brother and sister's in need, help them. If they're carrying a weight, help them find a way to help lift it off of them. You don't leave them hanging, or you don't leave them stranded And by the way, this doesn't mean you always have to be the one lifting the weight. Sometimes you can simply be the person connecting them to those who can help lift the weight. Right? A perfect example of that, and we're going to talk about that, our goal for Promise Haven. We've got a couple of our sisters here, Carol, who's the director of Promise Haven, and Stephanie, and you've seen both of them in the video. But we can help them carry the burdens of someone else who is homeless. That's what God's call to them is. You know, we were able to do that here for a little while, but we're not able to do that. But they have a new plan, and we're going to talk about that a little bit at the end. We've been raising a goal. We've been moving towards our fundraising goal, but I wanted you to hear from them personally today. This is how we can help lift the burden, excuse me, off of someone. We can direct them. We can help them. We can walk them. We can show them, or we can help those who are helping someone else lift the burden off someone. The truth of life is that one day you may be the person giving help, but one day you may be the person needing help. And if we haven't learned this from COVID-19, I don't know how else we're going to learn it. Let's always be willing to bear each other's burdens. To be willing is the first step. God will show you the burden to bear or help bear. I want to share these scriptures. This shows how powerful God is in these moments when we lay down our burdens. When he calls out and says, I will help you, and we respond. They're not on your screen, but just listen. Zephaniah 3, the Lord your God among you is powerful. He will save and he will take joyful delight in you. In his love, he will renew you with his love. He will celebrate with singing because of you. When we come and we surrender and we trust in him, this is what he wants to do for us. In Psalm 31, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart and all you that hope in the Lord. In Psalm 18, but in my distress I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry, this is an incredible line, my cry to him reached his ears. It reached his ears. He's listening, and my cry reached his ears. He heard it. The God of the universe. I mean, us measly, piddly old creatures here on earth, he doesn't think of it that way. He listens. He hears my cry. My prayer reached his ears. He heard it. And it wasn't in the midst of everybody's cry. He heard me. And he hears you. Psalm 50 says, pray to me when you are in trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. These are the promises of God. God always delivers on his promises. And the greatest, most important promise he delivered on was to provide a Savior to reconcile his people back to him. Jesus Christ, his only Son. Jesus is the ultimate burden bearer. The one burden that Jesus bore for us that we could never bear ourselves. But some of us remain in it. The burden of our sin. Jesus, therefore, is our ultimate burden bearer. He not only bore the burden of our sin, he took the weight of everything that comes with the burden of sin. And he placed it on his own shoulders. Jesus Christ is measured up by living a perfect life, dying on a cross and rising again, all for our inadequacies. He invites everyone who is tired of trying to carry the load to come get and let him take our yoke. And let him give his yoke, the yoke exchange. Within that relationship, he provides the experience, the wisdom, the skill, the ability to know God and to live a life faithful of service to God. In considering what Jesus did for us and how we are to be salt and light in this world, to draw others to Christ so he can take away their burdens. He can take away the weight of their sin. The burden for those who are not familiar with Christ, that's a heavy burden because you know it. Those of you who are followers of Christ, you know what that burden was. That's what drew you. Christ died for me. He died for me. He wanted to take that. He took that to the cross. And he bore that for me. He carried it all the way. We know that who are followers of Christ. We need to help others know that weight can be gone, that sin can be gone. But there is one burden that I think that we all are supposed to carry, and that's the burden for the lost. Do you even care? We gather in our little rooms here, we rub elbows and we sing songs, which is all good. But if we do that and we're not changed, if we hear God's word and we don't have a response, then it's all lip service. It's all noise. We should carry. And if you don't, maybe that's what you're supposed to pray about today. Is Lord, I need a burden for the lost. I need a heart that will seek. I need a mind that will be focused. That I need to be looking for people who are lost and sharing the gospel. Even through my testimony, God, I know I'm not much, but you love me and you gave me a testimony. Show me who I need to tell to today. Do you do that? Because there's people all the time coming in and out of our life, walking into our sphere of influence and walking out. How have we left them when we met them? Did we leave them better than we met them? Did we take the chance, or did we miss our chance to help them lighten their burden? A burden for the lost is something we all should carry. An aching in our heart for people who don't know the Lord, because His heart aches for that. He seeks to save them, and our hearts should desire the same.